Thanks for staying with us through the break, everybody. This is Dave Hodges from the Common Sense Show here on RBN. And at the top of the hour, don't forget we're going to be joined by L.A. private investigator who is a specialist in counterintelligence, Roger Tulsis, and he's going to tell us all the ways that we're being surveilled. And some of them will just blow your mind. But this half hour, we're going to focus on a young lady named Lori Kramer. And Lori is rocking America with this letter. And every time I go to a site to read articles, I am finding references to her letter entitled, When Is It Going to Be Enough, America? And let me read you the first paragraph. Dear America, when is it going to be enough? Haven't you been disrespected, marginalized, misdirected, demeaned, disregarded, ignored, insulted, BS, deliberately misinformed, uninformed, manipulated, controlled, cheated, lied to, poisoned, killed, and generally just plain old screwed for long enough? I'm really starting to wonder about you. Why isn't all that enough for you, America? You who are you in there? And occasionally from time to time on this show, I like to bring people on. People just from everyday walks of life, like me, like you, who are making a difference in this country. And this letter is getting people's attention. I probably have received somewhere between 20 and 30 emails on it. Without further ado, let's go to Houston, Texas, and welcome the author of this letter, Lori Kramer, to the show. Hi, Lori, how are you?
Well, hi, Dave. How are you?
I'm good. Hey, I can't tell you, Lori, how much attention this is getting. This is phenomenal. This first appeared, came to my attention for the website I write for, which is www.freedomsphoenix.com. But I keep getting emails from listeners, from friends, saying, have you seen this letter? What prompted you to write it?
Well, it was written in a moment of deep sadness and frustration, I guess. I started thinking about House Resolution 875 and the Senate Resolution 425 that has to do with the organic garden. And I think you probably have talked about that with other people. And
I have.
I'm sure your listeners are familiar with it. When you read
In case they haven't, hold on, before we leave that, real quickly, it's basically the planned overtaking of our agriculture by Monsanto, correct?
Well, that's certainly a part of it, I would think. It's creating yet another control organization that I don't feel we need and sticking their nose someplace else that I don't think they should be sticking it, but we live with a lot of that. You read that first article. I came up with a lot of adjectives there, didn't I? Sadly. Well, it started out about that. Like I said, I was frustrated about the whole thing, the whole situation, and it just kind of took on a life of its own. And then when I realized as I was going on that, you know, it's a lot of stuff, and so I started making the links to it to prove what I was talking about, that this isn't just rhetoric, it's what's really happening. And I'm very frustrated, and I don't really understand the continued tolerance and apathy of the people that are in our country.
Now, I read this, and I write, and I'm an educator, and I looked at this, and I said, this is really, really well written. Now, are you a professional writer, Lori?
No, I just have an amateur big mouth.
But yeah, sometimes I think pieces like this, you can't have a big enough mouth. But let's go back to what you do. You're not a professional writer. You work for a living like our listening audience.
I have a day job.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get called young lady often, but that was nice. I'm 55.
You have a great spirit. That's why I called you a young lady.
Thank you. I have three kids. I have four grandchildren. I have one of the children live at home. The other one are up and out. And my day job is I work for Whole Foods Market. It's an organic, all-natural grocery store. I am proud to work there. I'm really happy that people can walk into that store and there won't be a speck of aspartame anywhere in it.
Yeah, that's I've yet to do a show on that, but it's coming. The impressive thing about this letter, not only is it well written, in fact, before I go into this, let me give the website address out in case someone's been living in a cave and not come across it this week.
Sure.
It's www.seektress.com. seektress.com/enough.htm. That's www.seektress.com/enough.htm. The impressive thing for me on this, Lori, is the numerous links you have to back up what you're saying here.
Well, it's because it's the truth, sadly.
It is. I don't think I've ever seen an article, though, so in such an encapsulated fashion, in such a condensed manner, capture so much of the essence about what has people in the know so upset about what's happening to their country.
It's overwhelming when you see it all in one place. And I think part of the problem that we have in dealing with the situation in general is because each of those paragraphs are overwhelming just by themselves. And then you put it all together and it causes us to feel hopeless, and that's understandable. We're in a bad situation.
Yeah, let's hit a couple of these. One paragraph, you say, you are a number, you are photographed hundreds of times every day. I've read it, the average is 146. They intend to track you everywhere. They pretty much already do. They already have your grocery cards, your cars, your phones, your computers. They want to chip you and your animals, and you have no privacy. Let's take a couple of those.
Sure.
What are your hot buttons on that?
Oh, I have a real big problem with RFID in general, radio frequency ID chips. You know, I can understand how it's good to track things for shipping and know where big shipments of items are. I don't know why somebody feels they need to track where my underwear is.
Well, tell them what RFID is. And most people probably know, but in case they don't, what is an RFID chip?
RFID, if you go to that page, if you click on the grocery cards thing, you'll go to a link that explains a little bit more about it. And also, the link there where it says they want to chip you goes directly to VeriChip, which is one of the companies that starts this. There's a little chip about the size of a grain of rice, and they can be hidden and stuck and sewn into all kinds of products. And they have a number, and they go through readers, which track the number and whatever else information is encoded on the chip. And you don't necessarily have to have that chip right out in front of the reader. For example, if you have a grocery card that has the RFID chip in the card as you pass through the reader in the store, if set up that way, that can pick up that you walked in that store. In Germany, that's already happened. They've had, you know, walk in the store and that the machine picks you up and tracks you through the store, turns on interactive displays, and of course tracks your grocery purchases and so knows which ones to turn on for you.
Yes, and they know how often you use their product. That information's transmitted, and there is a total loss of privacy.
Well, there is, and as our voting electronics are not dependable, these aren't either. The chain CVS, I know their database was hacked, and personal information was taken from that.
Yeah, that makes
about,
me feel real good.
2 years ago, or a year and a half, 2 years ago.
That's where I get a lot of my prescriptions, so that made me feel real good.
It happened.
You know, it's funny, when I clicked on that link to grocery cards, it went to Catherine Albrecht's article, and I'm working with her publicist on finding a time to pre-record an interview with her.
Catherine Albrecht is one of my heroes. I also do volunteer work with Houston Independent Media Center, and I interviewed Catherine more than once on the show that I used to help out with there, and she is really an American hero, and I wish we could clone her.
She says and you reference this in your article too, that the plans are eventually to chip every human being.
Oh, they want a number on everything. Mm-hmm. Well, look at the Digital Angel. That's VeriChip's deal.
Tell us about that.
Digital Angel was designed to chip kids. You know, one of the excuses they use for a lot of their programs, save the children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they're starting it. I know here in Houston, and this was probably, oh boy, by now 4 years ago, maybe 5 years ago, they started the RFID things with the kids on the buses so that they would know whether or not they got on the bus, and that was going on. I'm pretty sure that still is. I haven't looked at it recently.
You know, we got a couple of calls. Let's go straight to the phones, and my screen is not up right now, so I'll have to just welcome you to the show. Tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Hello?
Hello, yes.
Hi.
Who am I speaking with? Where are you calling from?
I got the right station on here.
You have the right station.
Okay, Dave Hodges, right?
This is Dave Hodges.
Okay. I'm listening to Bill Deagle, actually. I think I got the wrong stream. Anyway, what I wanted to talk about was SSRIs. Is that the subject you're on?
No, but I can address that. I can address that a little bit, having been a survivor of that situation.
All roads lead to the Common Sense Show. Go ahead.
Okay, what happened to me was I was on Effexor for 2 years, maybe. And when I came off of it, ooh, what a trip. Not a good thing. I basically sat in the corner for 3 days.
That's a really hard thing.
Scary drug.
When someone has been on all those types of serotonin-adjusting drugs, it's really, really important not to just come off it real fast. You have to take it really, really slow, even as far as just shaving bits off the pills. To reduce the dosage, it can
do
a lot of...
Well, is it normal to get everything coming off this drug?
I'm sorry?
I mean, I was delusional for 3 days.
It messes with your head. It's part of why you shouldn't be on it in the first place.
Yeah, that's a this would have been a great topic for my last week's guest.
But we're probably going to have to move on to somebody else. I appreciate
totally
your call, though.
Well, I tell you, isn't that interesting here, Lori, that we're getting calls from listeners to other shows? So all roads, I guess, lead to the Common Sense Show. Anyway, let's go back to your article. And one thing, too, before we leave that topic. I don't recall you mentioning this in here, but we are certainly over-medicated. If you look at just Ritalin and ADHD.
Oh, there's it in there.
Okay.
It's in there.
You've got so much in here. But, you know, if you just go to what the American Pediatric Association says about medication, they say that we over-prescribe Ritalin for our children by 600%.
Mm-hmm.
600%. And, you know, this is...
I can remember. I have three children, and all my kids, I think, are pretty, you know, intelligent and able to take care of themselves and learn and do and grow. And I can remember when my middle son was in about the fourth grade. I mean, this was a high energetic kid. He asked a lot of questions, you know, which I just love about him. But I can remember one time getting a call from the teacher saying that he had been a disruption and that maybe I needed to put him on Ritalin. Yeah, and it just horrified me. I just flat out told her, no, my son will learn how to take care of, to control himself. I'll teach him. You know, it's what my job is. I don't need to drug him to do it. And I always say this, you know, when we have our kids, we love them, we think they're wonderful, we want them to talk and walk, but then they get up there and we just want them to sit down and shut up.
It's amazing to me that we produce so many successful generations of American students without Ritalin.
Yeah.
My gosh, what did we do before Ritalin?
Yeah.
Okay, well, you also mentioned in here, too, about the global financial meltdown, which has been a frequent topic of discussion on this show. And what's amazing to me now is we're fighting over table scraps, Lori. I mean, we have had $15 to $20 trillion sucked out of the world's economy by these international bankers. I don't know how many here, $9 trillion, I think, in America at last count. And now we're fighting over economic stimulus bill distributions. We're fighting over table scraps for something that we shouldn't even be doing.
And there's more coming.
Yeah. If people think this is the last bailout, they're fooling themselves.
It's really sad. And part of this is because the American people here, again, in general, are not educated about what's really happening around them. I have a friend who's an older gentleman. He's in his 70s. I know he's been hit hard by this, even though he's fairly well-to-do. He comes in every day and has his coffee and checks his stuff. And I asked him the other day, you know, how things were going. And I just wanted to test them. I said, who owns the Federal Reserve?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And what did he say?
He said, well, the government, it's a branch of the government, you know. And mm-hmm. I come back with my general, the Federal Reserve is no more federal than Federal Express.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't able at that moment to get into a big, long discussion with it. But it just proves that here is a responsible person that's in making investments, and they don't even know the basics of what's going on, and so consequently, it's like a lie of omission. They don't have enough information to really make decisions. Plus, I just think the stock market in general is legalized gambling. So,
well, it's a Ponzi scheme.
Yeah,
you need to keep bringing in more money at the bottom, more that exceeds what's already in the system, to push it through. I mean, it's another Social Security Ponzi scheme.
One of the things I did to protect myself, because I do have 401k investments, is when I realized that the stuff was really going to start down, I mean, getting out of there fast, I loaned as much as I could of my fund to myself. And sure, I'm paying a little interest on it, but I got that whole dollar, and it went way down since then.
Yeah, most of us weren't so lucky.
No, I understand. But we have to think about things like that, and it's hard to do because you trust the system. You work hard. You invest. You're supposed to be saving for your kids and your future and college and all this other stuff like that. Meanwhile, there's all these other guys that all they're worried about is their hedge funds and this and that. You know, the Bernie Madoff thing, that right there, there were a lot of real legitimate good foundations and charities that had investments in those funds. I was trying to explain it to my son. I said, it's a trickle-down thing. Now all these foundations are closing their doors, so the people that depended on them for services don't get that anymore, and so that just adds to the problem, too.
Mm-hmm.
And then and the people that were probably going for these services didn't have jobs to begin with or had bad ones, and now they've probably lost those, too. it's going to be a real scary situation if we don't get a handle on it. I mean, when people, you've heard it said before probably, you know, when people lose everything, they lose it.
Lori, we've not even seen the crest of this problem.
No, we haven't.
You have another good line in here that I want to reference here. Entertainment is a weapon.
Mm-hmm.
Your news is controlled and manufactured. Your comedians are the journalists. You and your children are stupefied and zombified by television. What a great line.
Well, entertainment is a weapon is not my line. That's definitely all Bill Hicks.
Bill Hicks, exactly.
And if you're not familiar with Bill Hicks, there's a link straight to his site. And he was very, very talented, very smart comedian. He's deceased now. He was actually banned from the Jay Leno show. No, I'm sorry, David Letterman, for an Easter joke that he did that was many found offensive. But yeah, well, it is. You know, the media, the comedian, are your journalist thing is the Steve Kramer and Jon Stewart exchange that some of you may be familiar with. If not, click on the link. You can see it. You know, the comedians are the ones telling the truth. That's a sad state of affairs. Meanwhile, you have Fox News, you know, to the masses.
That's an oxymoron to put Fox and News in the same sentence.
Oh, you know, this whole Glenn Beck thing, this 9/12 program, I mean, there's got to be something up with that. There's just got to be. It's on Fox News, and it's Glenn Beck. And I understand passion about pulling things together. That's what I try to do myself, but entertainment is a weapon.
No, you're right. And you're right about the children being stupefied and zombified. I mean, education is not a part of our mainstream media. It's basically dumbing people down. It distorts history. And it produces needs that we confuse for wants and wants for needs. And, you know, when a kid spends 6 to 8 hours a day in front of the TV on average, and the more TV that you watch, the lower your reading level.
And when they're in class, you know, they're studying to pass their whatever school district standardization test is. I have a friend, neighbor, that's a fifth grade science teacher, and she just goes from studying from one tax test to the next. You know,
it's a money-making scam by publishers of books. We have that here in Arizona, Lori, because something called the Ames test, it's correlated to nothing. To nothing. Not to the SAT, not to the Stanford 9, to nothing.
Our kids
hang tight. We're up against the break, and we'll pick this up right after these words from our sponsor. Stay tuned, everybody. Welcome back to the Common Sense Show, everybody. We're joined by our guest, Lori Kramer, who's setting the internet ablaze with her letter, When Is It Going to Be Enough, America? Dear, Dear America. And we've been discussing some of the contents of her letter. And if you want to review Lori's letter, you can go to www.seektress.com and see the letter and other stuff and updates on this for yourself.
Well, can I throw in here real quick, too,
before
people start writing to me and say, well, I can sit around all day and complain about what's going on, too, you know, a bunch of rhetoric, what's your solutions? Well, I have two updates since then. If you scroll down the bottom, you'll see the first one and then the other. We're going to try, you know, just throw it out there and talk to each other and see what happens. It's really important that we keep communication open. That's why independent media programs like yours and this network are just vital. I've said for years that when the stuff hits the fan, you know how it goes, that discernment is going to be our most important survival tool.
Absolutely. But what I like about what you did here, I mean, certainly we need to be solution-oriented, but we need a rallying call, and not enough people are listening. I even hate to estimate how many people in this country are asleep to the major issues that befall us. But this is a great rallying call, Lori. I mean, this is something that I think people who ordinarily haven't heard of these issues are going to read this letter, click on these links, and they're going to say, this is very disturbing and I need to know more.
Well, that's important. You're welcome to share as long as you do link back to the original. Some people have just been copying the text and put it in, and the links are really more than half the story.
Mm-hmm.
It backs it up. So as long as they link back to the original, that's really great.
Well, you've got a comment in here about us being sprayed.
Mm-hmm.
You want to run with that for a minute?
Well, I've been researching illegal aerosol operations, commonly known as chemtrails, which I don't particularly like that name, but that's what it goes by for about 10 years now, so that's what that's about.
Okay, and tell everybody what chemtrails are.
They're not contrails. There is, you know, more than one thing, which is why I don't like that. There's their illegal aerosol programs. Technology has been such that they can use aerosols in relation to weather control projects, advanced radar systems, other defense applications, connections with HAARP, the High Altitude Aurora Research Project.
Mm-hmm.
I think you may be familiar with that. There's lots of different things they do with them. So just lumping them all together on chemtrails not only makes it hard to investigate, it makes it hard to discuss. You can't soundbite the stuff. Regardless, all of these things are going on without informed consent and without environmental impact studies. And people are getting sick, and environmental systems are being damaged, some of them beyond repair. So it's something that bothers me.
Well, actually, it's all legal because under U.S. Code 50,
mm-hmm.
Chapter 32, Section 1520, it's perfectly permissible for the government to conduct experiments on its citizens. I'll be talking with my guest at the top of the hour, Roger Tulsas, about that fact.
Oh, I'm familiar with that, but this is way, way past the stage of experimentation. These are full-fledged operations, and they may be able to get by with that wording, but I'm sorry, I'd have to disagree. It's definitely illegal.
Well, let's just, I know you can't really bullet point it, and we're going to have you back to do a full show on this.
Okay.
But Lori, the one thing I think we can say is when we see these particles coming out of planes, they're not contrails. These particles are very clearly not good for human consumption. And with that teaser, we're going to have to leave this here. We are going to have Lori Kramer back on the air. Lori, I want to thank you so much for coming on and talking about your letter, and I encourage everyone to read it. Stay tuned for our guest after the hour, Roger Tulsas. And Lori, thanks again so much for being with us. I'll be in touch with you to schedule an interview on chemtrails. Back, everybody, after these messages with Roger Tulsas, and we'll find out how we're being spied upon. Stay tuned, everybody.